You're listening to the 23rd episode of the Star Wars Report. I'm Bethany.
And I'm confused. What? You're doing the intro. You're just kind of spraying Bethany. You sprang that on me. Like 5 seconds ago, I start the music and you turn off the microphone and say, "Can I do it?" And I'm like, sure. Sure, I can do that.
And you are, by the way.
I said Riley. I think. They know me. Although what you should have done to really solidify the fact that you're introducing the show officially is forget my name.
Yes.
That would have been the better route to go right there.
Oh, I can't believe I didn't do that.
But yes, you're listening to the one and the only Star Wars Report, your weekly look at the latest from the Star Wars fan community, the latest in Star Wars news. If you're looking up for information about the live-action series, the Old Republic, the Clone Wars, the novels, the comics, the fan fiction. Actually, we're not so much in the fan space. We need to do that, though. Come here. This is awesome. We're live on Middle Earth Network Radio right now. Folks joining us in the chat room at mymeradio.us. Mymeradio.us.
What about the radio all the rest in the of our guests tonight?
We have quite the panel, guys. Quite the panel starting out the show. But let's bring in our third co-host, Mr. Mark Herleman from Oregon. Welcome to the show, sir.
Way out west. Yeah, me and Whisper hanging. Woo. Just chilling out.
Welcome to the show. So glad you're...
I swear, I need to get a restraining bolt for this guy.
Is a restraining bolt the same thing as a restraining order? Are there human restraining bolts? In a galaxy far, far away, they put them around
your neck. Slave collars. Didn't Leia have one?
Yes. And then, of course, the Togruta will probably soon have slave collars as well in the Clone Wars series. We'll be talking about that at the end of the show. We've got two awesome folks joining us at the beginning portion of this show that we're going to do a quick interview with. The brains and the brawn. I think running websites does take brawn. I think. I think so, anyway. The brains and the brawn behind. I'm not going to actually state which one of you is which, but we've got Puneet and Chris. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, thanks for having us.
You are most welcome.
Oh, I love that awkward Skype pause of... the Skype delay makes it seem much more awkward than it is. Chris, we've had you on in the previous incarnation of the show, the Bothan Report, and so it's been a while. It's awesome to actually talk to you once again.
Yeah, thanks. It's great to be chatting with you and Bethany again. Mark, I got to put up with him, so good to see you again too, sir.
Always good to have you with me, Chris.
Okay, well, Chris and Puneet, there, I said your name right. Chris
awesome,
and
yes.
are
10 points.
Co-admins, as they say, for New Jedi Order Incorporated. Tell us, what is this?
New Jedi Order Encyclopedia.
Oh, my goodness.
Incorporated.
I was so focusing on
it's not NJOI,
it.
It's NJOE.
Oh, goodness. I am too tired, guys. I'm sorry. So tell us about your encyclopedia.
Okay, well, the encyclopedia first started in 2000 by a user named Aki12. He was the founder of the site. And this was back when the NJO was first being released. And as he puts it, he wanted to create a sort of database for all the facts that were like flying around about the characters and plot points, etc. And so... at the time, all of the people who were following the NJO online were at this place called the Unofficial New Jedi Order homepage. And all he really did was just start NJOE, which was supposed to be like that sort of database. And it had a discussion forum, so people started coming and discussing stuff, and people were writing, etc. And it sort of chugged along. And then... when the NJO ended, we decided to sort of just, or he decided rather, I wasn't there yet, to sort of just keep the community going because it was a great community and there was a lot of good discussion going. And so he decided to expand NJOE's coverage to the stuff that was coming out post-NJO. And let's see what happened next.
Yeah, it's a fan site that's been around for a long time. It reminds me.
Yeah, it's been around pretty much since the inception of the NJO.
Yeah,
and it's sort of just held on throughout the years. Like people come in, discuss, people leave, so forth, and it's always just been like a linchpin of the fan community. And we around 2008, which was I joined the site in 2006. And around 2008, we realized that the encyclopedia wasn't really working in its like current form. That is to say, we there were sites like Wikipedia, for example, Wikipedia, that were collecting facts a lot more thoroughly and a lot quicker than we were able to. And JOE has always really prided itself on its review process. We have writers apply to us, and we review their applications to make sure they're strong on writing and like are passionate about the subject and so forth. And then every article they submit goes through an editing process. And so that, you know, it produces quality content, but it slows us down. And so I did a lot of thinking about whether, like, how the encyclopedia could survive after sort of 2008-ish. And I decided that the best way for that to happen was to sort of collect analysis. Other sites will have the facts, and there will be facts in the books and so forth. But what I wanted to do was really take those facts and, you know, synthesize them into something that the fan community could use. You know, opinions, well-evidenced arguments, so forth. And we're sort of chugging along as far as that goes, and I think it's been pretty successful so far, so that's good. I'm sorry, I just went on for like 5 minutes.
No, it's fascinating stuff, because I'm familiar with the site, but I don't know obviously anything about the behind the scenes, and it's interesting because it really seems like good analysis of the Star Wars content and what's going on in the fan community is well needed, because there are so many sites out there that just, you know, put out the news. And while that's good, if you want to go to a site that's only doing news, it's not nearly as interesting as someone who actually has some thoughtful analysis as well.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really, yeah, really fun, I think, to take this universe that we're very, very, that we all have some sort of affinity for and that we all have a lot of passion about, and really go deeper than what's given to us, you know? And I think that's a really nice exercise as far as being a fan is concerned. And I think it's really fun for other fans to read that and be inspired and like think like their own deeper thoughts about like the Star Wars fan community as a whole. And it's I don't know, I'm really happy with the way it's turned out. Sorry, Chris, yeah, I cut you off.
One thing that that we definitely wanted to do when we sort of took over was we wanted to focus more, like Puneet was saying, on the more encyclopedia portion, the more in-depth look into views.
Not the incorporated
Not so much.
Sorry, I just had to
For like example, Bethany, you know, you're going to find a lot of sites that carry the news, and NJOE for a long time did that as well. But, you know, the way I look at it is I don't mind getting my news from other sites, whether it be Knights Archive, U Cantina, Club Jade. And they all sort of have their own little personal touch to the news.
Their own flavor.
But I think we really wanted to more focus on, you know, the more in-depth topics and discussions, things that, you know, like, for example, the EU action reaction column that I used to write. it's like sort of what we're looking for. We're just trying to sort of create a community where a lot of really intellectual minded fans can come and really share their own thoughts on the expanded universe and sort of especially with a specific concentration in the New Jedi Order area, and just move forward from there.
Now, Chris, you know, you just mentioned the EU Action Reaction. For those of you who don't know, I'm one of the admins on EU Cantina, and Chris is one of our main editors, our major editor, in fact. And I recall when all this happened, like, I remember, you know, you were getting a hold of us on Skype going, hey, I got some interesting information, I've been contacted, and, you know, watching it from where I saw it, you know, as everything went down, I felt you guys did a really good job of taking control of the situation and where Aki wanted it to go. and the way the power kind of got handed off. You want to take a moment and kind of explain that in a little more detail for everybody as to how the transition kind of worked through? I mean, because you guys, it didn't even seem to really hit a bump. I mean, no speed bumps. You guys just smoothly went from one transition to the other. I believe there was like a post saying, hey, we've made the transition. But, I mean, it was a very successful changing of the guard, if you will.
Yeah, and it actually happened a lot quicker than I think it was originally planned to. Also, it sort of came as a surprise to me, and I'm sure Panita will talk a little bit more about the process overall, because my understanding is he was more involved in the process overall, because he was already still in an administrative position at that time, whereas I was sort of on the outskirts, like a regular poster. But you know, basically, I was just contacted. Hey, would you be interested? And I'm definitely interested. I thought that I had a pretty good voice in the community, and definitely wanted to sort of get that done. So I just said, hey, we just made it work, and I made myself available. And yeah, like you said, the transfer was pretty darn smooth.
I'm really glad that has worked out for you guys, and that's really awesome. Kind of stepping back from the actual site questions, for both of you, I'll start with you, Chris, and then go to Puneet. What are some EU works that you guys are really excited about outside of the Clone Wars or something visual? Let's say whether it's the Old Republic coming out or whether it's Darth Plagueis, which Mark has been raving about with his advanced review that he's been reading. What's something that you guys are really looking forward to in the next near future?
You know, I look forward to a lot of different stuff. Darth Plagueis, I'm really looking forward to. The book I'm actually reading right now, which I'm going to give a nice big plug because I really think it deserves it, is Shadow Games, okay. Which has absolutely just been fantastic. It's, in my opinion, my favorite book of the year. It's just it's really? Fantastic. It's the mixture of humor and the thrills and the mystery in that book. It is flat out fantastic. Anybody who reads that book, if you don't walk away from it thinking that Lebo is the greatest character in the history of Star Wars, you're crazy. But but aside from that, I mean, I look forward to catching the omnibus releases when they come out. I think there's one coming up soon that's going to collect the rest of the Empire issues. I'm really looking forward to the end of Fate of the Jedi. I've been really digging that series as it picks up steam near the end. So yeah, I guess everything really. There's nothing I'm not.
We got to have a Fate of the Jedi discussion.
I'll tell you this: he's talked me out of Riptide and into Shadow Games because of how great Lebo is. I got both of them like within the next day after finishing Plagueis, and I'm sitting there and I flip through the one. I'm like, oh, this looks like it starts good. And I grab, because I was really looking forward to Riptide, and then I'm just hearing how great Lebo is. Oh, you got to set this book down, get into it. And I'm like, okay, I'm only two pages in, and I set it down, and then Austin at EU Cantina was like, well, there is, and Lebo makes three. So I stopped. I'm gonna read that little roll into and go in, and I'm enjoying the heck out of it. And you're right, Lebo is pretty dang funny, and I'm still in the insider little short story, so I can't wait to get into the book. I mean, the little bit I read in the first two pages, he was cracking me up, and you were going on and on about how funny he was, Chris, so I'm looking forward to this.
Awesome. Puneet, what are some things you're looking forward to in the near future?
Well, the biggest one would have to be The Essential Guide to Warfare. I'm a really big fan of the visual stuff that the publishers, I think it's Delray, I'm not entirely sure though, it could be different publishers publishing the Essential Guides, but the visual compendiums that they release every now and again on like characters, or I picked up the Atlas 3 years ago now, geez, I'm old. Just the visual stuff is really, really good. It's really informative, in-depth. It actually, you know, now you see where my love for encyclopedia-like stuff comes from. You know, I like things that go deeper, that analyze, that give you information you've never had before, and then let you do something with it. But as a military history buff, I'm really excited for The Essential Guide to Warfare, and that's basically the main thing, really. It comes out in May, and I think I'll be out of the country then, but I'm gonna pre-order it, and it'll be there waiting for me when I get home, so it'll be awesome.
Nice, looking forward to it. That's awesome. Well, gentlemen, it's so cool to talk to you. We're going to go ahead and jump straight into some news and some other topics as well. But thank you so much for coming on the show and taking some time out of your busy schedules to come talk to us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Sure thing. And yeah, stick around the chat, and we'd be happy to have you guys join us for the rest of the live show as well.
Thanks.
You got it. Awesome. Thanks for having us,
awesome,
man.
Awesome. Thanks again. We'll talk to you guys very soon. All right.
Thanks for coming.
Let's see. Oh, Mark, let me do a quick recommendation. You have your microphone. Would you mind unplugging it and plugging it back in?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna hang up and call you right back. All right. Yeah, always live technical stuff. It's always fun to deal with. Bethany, would you grab for our first story as I look to go ahead and start a call with Mr. Hurleman.
Yes, had
a few little, it seemed like the microphone was bleeding just a little bit, but let's see if this works out. Doop! We need to do some harmony.
I would like to mention, though, that Knights Archive, which is a really cool blog site that does Star Wars news, reviews, opinions, etc., is doing a giveaway of the book Shadow Games right now, signed by both of its respective authors.
Really?
So,
tell me more.
If you have a Twitter account, go look up Knights Archive on Twitter and retweet them for a chance to win the book. If you don't have a Twitter account, get one.
All right. Let's see if it works. All right, come on, Mr. Hurleman. I know you're out there.
Well, you know, you said always two there are.
Always two. All right, here he is. Oh, but he's good. Back. Mr. Good, Hurleman, I'm so glad that you're on. Hey, guess what? We can turn on webcams. We can see each other. The audience can't see us, but we can.
Yeah.
I should have answered with my webcam then, shouldn't I?
That's all right. Actually, I just realized I haven't plugged mine in after all that, so I shouldn't have said that. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I beat you to it then, because here I am. Ah!
Let's jump into the first kind of two-prong thing. It's the new video was released about the Star Wars SWMMO online multiplayer game, The Old Republic, Hammer Station Flashpoint. And let's grab a quick clip from this.
In a world
Flashpoint, Hammer Station.
Hammer Station was an armored fortress built by the Republic.
Oops, stop. I know that voice.
For 300 years, we prepared. During the war, its primary weapon was a gravity cannon designed to propel asteroids into planets. The station has a crew complement of 10,000 AdvSec, and they shall stand against you. Their conquests are rightfully ours. You will show them their error by boarding and destroying Hammer Station.
Intruders detected. Hammer Station security online. Lockdown in progress.
Explosions! And that, my friends, is Star Wars The Old Republic Hammer Station Flashpoint. I have no idea what a flashpoint is. I will show my ignorance right now, but it's cool. I know that much. If this video has anything to do with it. But I don't know if I've told, but many of our listeners may not know this. They do know that if they follow me on Twitter, at the Riley Guy, shameless plug, that I've been playing a little bit of The Old Republic beta. Actually, and by a little bit,
dirty dog. No,
I know. And by a little bit, I really do mean only a little bit. I've played about half an hour or so. I really was trying to squeeze in more time, but it was enough time to get, you know, just a basic feel for the game mechanics and what it was like. It was that big beta testing weekend they did immediately after Thanksgiving. And it was a lot of fun. I'll tell you something. I played as a Jedi Knight, just to be very, very traditional and unoriginal. And created my character, my insanely buff, muscly video game typical character,
for which I teased him mercilessly about.
I'm a Jedi Knight, and I look like Dwayne Johnson. Anyway, it was. It was a lot of fun, though. I will say that. The gameplay mechanics took a little bit of getting used to. I wasn't quite used to it. But it.
So wait, Riley, are you trying to tell me that in the 30 minutes you spent, you learned how to run and walk and do all that stuff, but you never got to actually, like, dwell into the story at all, or what?
I got into the very first plot of the first story. I didn't, and I completed the first small mission. So there was a little bit of story. Which I'll come to that in just a second. As far as the actual game mechanics go, I'll get that out of the way. Very, 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 very much like Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, Bethany was watching me, I should say. So Bethany's
so
actually
that I could tease him about his character.
Bethany's.
Well, they've said before that this is, in a sense, KOTOR 3-12. So
yeah,
I mean I could see it in that regard.
1,000.
Well, so gameplay style, I was not impressed. That doesn't mean I didn't like it, but it didn't jump out at me. It was basically like Knights of the Old Republic, if you played that. Minus the turn-based style. It is live combat, but basically you have your various moves, which you just have two basic lightsaber swinging moves at the beginning, and you just hit your number 2 key or number 3 key and swing at your enemies. Let's jump into the story. The first story is Jedi Knight. I get deployed out to a... You know, it's the Deceived trailer has happened. There was the old Sith War, but now there's a fragile piece that's being kept right now. And I'm going to a Jedi Academy outpost, so to speak. And I'm regretting this already because I've completely forgotten the name because it was very little significance at the time.
Was it Dantooine?
No, it wasn't.
Ooh,
Dantooine.
Surprising.
That I can remember.
It was kind of just a place
remember.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool.
BFE!
Beautiful scenery, though. That's one thing that was very different from Knights of the Old Republic. The backgrounds and scenery are so much better and so much more realistic. So that was a really cool portion of it. As far as the story goes, I arrive at this location, find out that the Padawans are being attacked by evil... primitive warriors of some type of tribe, and they're going down and they need help. And who do they call to? Why, of course, me and about 20 or 30 other online players who are in that same location. So it's our mission to go take them out. And it took me a few minutes to even figure out the game mechanics, but that's because I'm a noob and know nothing about MMOs. But once I figured out how to block stuff and swing stuff and kill stuff, I proceeded to roll along my merry way and slaughter these evil, almost Gamorrean-type creatures that are attacking the Padawans, and proceeded to some different story points, and I would receive these cool little holograms from contacts at the Jedi base saying, "What are you doing?" or "I suggest that you look for this. We've just received intel that something weird is in the cave over there." And so little kind of helpful things, but it's not very interrupting. Because of the way the game works, instead of having like the gameplay stops, it actually is just like a little hologram that pops up live during the game, so it doesn't really interrupt the flow of the gameplay, which is awesome. So you've got that aspect. I really did like that. I like the story. It turned out a spoiler alert. Spoilers. The creatures are being controlled by a dark Jedi who's hiding out in a cave that I had to go find and take out. And defeat, and he was his it was kind of like Krell. His mind had gone, and he had turned evil, and the Jedi were no longer the future of the galaxy. And so it reminded me a little bit of the Clone Wars recently. And so it was very much like Knights of the Old Republic in that way, and it was a lot of fun. There were portions like the scenery that impressed me much more than I thought it would, and then there were portions where there was a lot of lag that I was dealing with.
Yeah,
And I bet some people in the chat have actually been playing this. So I'll throw this out while I'm talking about it.
I know Chris has had some issues with some lag.
Yeah,
I know that.
Yeah. And I know it's a beta, so it's may not be this bad for final release. So disclaimer there. But the lag in certain portions of the game made it almost unplayable. In terms of that would interrupt the flow, and there are so many things as far as the game design had gone to not interrupt the flow of gameplay. Like the hologram system and that. And I'm just kind of speaking with, I'll say this right now, ignorance. I play very few video games, very few MMOs. This is just my observation. This is the first MMO I've ever played, period. But
you noob.
I know. But I wanted to, you know, get that firsthand experience to talk about it on the show. So yeah,
I'm glad you did. I really am. You know, the thing for me, I've like, you know, we're already talking about how my computer picks up all sorts of background hisses. It's so old, I can't play the game. But I've been watching YouTube like nobody's business.
Oh yeah.
And there are, spoiler warning, some interesting backgrounds on certain characters. Some, like Revan. That's all I'm going to say. That's the only spoiler I'm giving you. But that video came out and just blew my mind. I cannot wait to get a hold of that book. But everything story aspect about this game is what I'm most excited for. And even if I don't ever get to play it, just the fact that people are being evil and putting it up there on YouTube for others to check out, even though it's the beta. I mean, thank you.
Well, they did lift the ban, so you are allowed to talk about it, which is, you know, why we're talking about it here. They lifted the ban, which kind of tells me that they're pretty much finished, but I really hope they do work on the lag, because in certain portions, it wouldn't be so bad and just be, oh, it's a little jumpy here and there. And then in other portions, specifically the Jedi Temple, where it was just, it would take you, it would be like one frame every half second or every second. So it'd be like so there was that aspect to it.
There are several things that stood out to me while watching Riley play, and that was, one, the lag, which was annoying, but again, hopefully it can be fixed. But two, the actual cutscenes were amazing. Goodness, I just totally blanked on the word. That's like the third major thing I blanked on.
You're right. No, the cutscenes, incredible. Mm-hmm. Incredible work. And I'm going to say it right now. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, I knew about the cutscenes. Wow, what was it? 2 years ago? Year and a half ago?
It was certainly over a year ago.
Once upon a time, you and I were hosting another podcast, the EU Cast. And we had done an interview with a gentleman by Alessandro Valdassaroni.
Valdassaroni,
he's a great guy. Animator at Blur Studios. This is when the Hope trailer premiered, the Old Republic Hope trailer. And we were talking to him, great interview, never saw the light of day, unfortunately, because there's a little more information than should have been in there. A little bit more. We can talk about it now because it's common knowledge. Mm-hmm. But all the cutscenes in this game are done by Blur Studios, who do those cinematic trailers. And I remember back in the day just being so amazed at the idea that we would be getting all these cutscenes to different
types of
plots.
That was when we had the Deceived trailer and only the Deceived trailer.
Yes. Well, and I guess the Hope trailer had like just then premiered. So that I was thinking, oh, we'd get these cool trailers, but the idea of having tons of cutscenes in that high quality just seemed almost too good to be true. And it's not. There are quite a few really cool cutscenes portion I played.
Once this EU cast was aired, an interesting thing, Lucasfilm picked it up and was like, take it down.
Take her down. Take her down, Joe.
Funny thing is,
course, fast, too.
Yes. And Austin of EU Cantina had posted a post about it on their site.
Oh, no.
Their site actually went down for a little while.
I'm suspicious about this, by the way.
We just had this joke going around that the big dogs took out EU Cantina.
It might have been a server glitch, and it might have been the evil black-suited, black sunglasses guys from Lucasfilm.
It's Georgia's Shadow Troopers! They're coming in through the internet! Quick, brace yourselves!
Oh my goodness. But that was the beta. Overall thoughts, very cool. It surpassed my expectations in some way. It was below my expectations in other ways. Overall, very cool game. I still think it has a lot of potential. I still think that they need to have a free-to-play model. This is just a marketing thing that they can't, especially if they don't get better lag, where it's not noticeably better than other MMOs on the market. They need to have a free-to-play system. Even World of Warcraft, by the way, Mark, I don't know if you knew this. World of Warcraft actually... excuse me. World of Warcraft actually has a free-to-play model now to where like the first 20 levels or so you can play. And I think this is in direct response to some other well-known MMOs going free-to-play. So I kind of think that's an interesting... aspect to it that they have to consider.
I hear what you're saying with the free to play, but I would rather see kind of along the lines where if you have an Xbox 360, a PlayStation 3, you go out and buy the, you know, the console version of the game that allows you to online go on and continue playing. I would like to see something like that where console players could be playing this game from their consoles. That would be cool to me. I would love to see it. I don't have the next-gen consoles, but I don't know. I see myself leaning a little closer to that and buying a whole brand-new computer. But yeah, it's been, maybe I'm just not thinking this through.
Well, see, consoles are subsidized as well because games are so expensive for them, whereas the computer that it would take to run this kind of deal is, you know, it's a $600 computer, $400 computer, which is twice as much as some of the consoles that could be playing this game. I think that's a real boat that they've been missing.
Well, and like I said, I've never played any of these kind of games. I had Galaxies, but I never actually played it. And so the whole, I mean, I played X-Wing and TIE Fighter, and those were okay using the keyboard, but the whole using your keyboard to move a person that I'm used to playing with a little remote control. I want my remote control. I mean, we got the Wii, and I think the hardest thing for me was to not sit on my butt and play the video game. I was like, this is not right. This is, my subculture is sitting on my butt being a couch potato playing video games. I'm not supposed to be moving around and losing calories. This is wrong. You know, I mean, and there's a large bit of people that when they think gaming, they think consoles. And that was part of the beauty of KOTOR. On the same side, though, they only had it on Xbox. So, you know, you do have those little loopholes you're going to have to jump through. So, I don't know. I would love to just see it, you know, even if it is just like, what is it, Halo 2 had an online version or something like that where you can only do the levels and things like that. Even if it's just something like that where it's like, you know, you buy this one level and get to play it. I would love to just see something like that make its way to consoles.
Yeah, well,
to give my thoughts on free to play versus subscription MMOs, it's just I do realize that in some cases, if they made an MMO free to play, that they could. I think someone in the chat said nickel and dime you the whole rest of the way for extra things.
Oh yeah,
but there's also like Lord of the Rings Online, which I have not played, but it went free a while ago, and people have loved it. Pretty much nothing but good things is what I've heard. And also, Lord of the Rings Online has made approximately double the money since they went free to play. So it seems to be a model that will work if done correctly.
I think the number one thing that I would suggest to BioWare, and I know you're listening, and I know you want to take the advice of three lunatics on the internet talking in a podcast.
One fanatic and two lunatics.
There you go, fanatic. But if you give consumers, which basically video games are entertainment, it is not an actual, it's not necessary to buy this game, believe it or not. It's a product that you have to get people really excited about. And if you have more choices, have the choice of a console or have the choice of a free-to-play system to where you can just play the lower levels. And if you want to go to that ultra-high level, then you pay. I really do think that your game will fare far better. So I think it's going to be 6 months, a year, this thing will be free-to-play, and I will be playing it then. Go ahead.
You know, you guys mentioned how the cutscenes were beautiful, and, you know, you talk about interest. And the first things that they gave us was the Deceived and the Hope trailers. Yeah. Everybody watched them. Everybody was enjoying it. There were very few people that did not like it. Most people, they saw it and they were like, this is what we need on TV! You know?
Yeah.
And there's no denying that that format is a win when it comes to generating interest and wanting to know more with the fans. I mean, you saw that and immediately people's brains started racking. It's like, where's the set? Where's the timeline? You know, everybody, questions were being asked immediately. And yeah. I think that is just a key to you know, Star Wars, the marketing of their trailers. I mean, the Clone Wars episodes, all these things, they find ways to keep it interesting, even if they're finding ways to kind of lie to you, you know? I mean, it's like, oh, well, I didn't see no Rise of the Bounty Hunters or whatever, you know? But they're finding ways to keep you interested, and that's key. I mean, they're definitely keeping it, you know, mainstream, and I like that.
Well, let me tell you something. When it comes to the Old Republic, I'm interested. I'm not there in terms of the monthly subscription. It's a little above my budget. But it's definitely something I will keep up with, and we will continue to cover here on the Star Wars Report. And let me tell you something.
We need a resident tour expert.
We do. And I know there's a listener out there somewhere. We need a tour expert correspondent of some
kind. I got it now. The tour up segment.
No,
I see what you did there.
It's just the Deceived and Hope trailers and other things like that. When we show them to people who aren't Star Wars fans, they say, I would really be interested in going and seeing that movie.
Yeah, that's exactly what I had a lot of that exact same reaction.
Or people who are Star Wars fans, but only fans of the films, you know, they're not interested in the books, the comics, the video games, anything else really. They just like the movies. They're like, yes, I would love to see this as a Star Wars film, or if this were a TV series, I would definitely watch it. So it's something I hope to see in the future. It's kind of what I hope for the live action series in a way. Something that is so cinematically amazing.
Yeah, definitely. And we actually just had Mr. Nathan Butler join us in the chat room, and he was talking about the free-to-play. And let me actually read a little excerpt here. He says, however, economically, if you make something free-to-play, you are by definition decreasing the value of the content for those who are actually paying for the experience. So you have to balance the two in a sort of sweet spot that doesn't drastically affect demand. And it depends on the elasticity. That's a fun word to say out loud. of the demand of that particular product. Very good point. And if you make your whole game free with the exception of a few little goodies that you can buy, that's different than something like World of Warcraft, which has found the balance of, you know, only the first 20 levels and then you must pay. There's a cutoff. Whereas Lord of the Rings Online, it's, well, it's all free, but then there are some cool bonuses for becoming like a plus member where you get to do this and this, which is extra but not, you know, absolutely required. And Nathan's right. There is a sweet spot, and I don't think that sweet spot is $15 a month. That's just me. So there we go. I just need to start now. Everybody's saying, keep reading, keep going in the chat. I should just read the chat out loud and that'd be the whole podcast. We've got a bunch of awesome folks in there right now, which is
is
great.
Oh, if you hear random laughs, it's probably because I'm reading
Bethany.
Something funny they say.
I get too distracted, though, honestly. The whole show will decline. Let's talk about Star Wars Identities. Star Wars Identity.
The thing that I bet was a video game? I had bet that was a video game. Who else in the chat bet that?
Wrong. Yeah, I did. I'm not in the chat at the moment, but okay. Was I wrong?
I will be quiet.
All right, StarWars.com. This is coming straight from Roku Depot. I pronounced it correctly. Take that. .com. StarWars.com has unveiled that the Identities domain name news. It was about the Star Wars Identities Exhibition coming to Montreal Science Center April 19th, 2012. The Star Wars Identities Exposition will utilize Lucasfilm archives to, quote, explore the sciences of identity through the characters of Star Wars. I'm confused.
So am I.
You can find out more details of the expedition and ticket information and a 57-second teaser video here on StarWars.com. You can also check out the official Star Wars Identities website. Let me click on that. Interesting. So they got some really cool, like, inky art here, cover art of sorts for this. I still haven't figured it out. It says, get to know the characters of Star Wars on a whole new level. Stunning costumes, models, and artwork from the films. A complete interactive immersion into the world of Star Wars. Pick up your lightsaber and your adventure into identity awaits in a world. So they have two locations on the website here. It's not just Montreal, but it's Edmonton Canada. And let's see, what happens when I click to buy tickets? EdmontonScience.com. Okay, so yeah, now it's an exhibition. It
so it's
opens
kind of like a massive biography in a museum format.
Okay, tell me more.
That's just kind of all I'm getting right now. Okay. I know Pete Morrison of Lightsaber Rattling did a good
blog. Is it
going to
be like character types? Like Darth Vader, the ultimate villain. Asajj Ventress, the ultimate female bald villain.
Oh my goodness, Mark. Okay, well, this is
R2-D2, the awesomest droid next to Lebo.
X3 Productions, which is the company that's doing the production side of this, says, this exciting and immersive touring exhibition follows the journeys of Luke and Anakin Skywalker, cinema's preeminent father and son duo, as their identities are developed from childhood through adolescence and into adulthood. So I'm just thinking, this just sounds like a massive museum.
All right, exhibit type thing.
For people,
yeah.
Only fictitious people. So yeah.
It sounds like the biographies in an event.
Yeah. Huh. Well, it's interesting how a lot of times we hear these domain registrations happen, and we say, oh, what is it? What is it? And then we don't hear anything for a year or two. Seems like we were just talking about this domain registration a couple weeks ago. Interesting, interesting. It doesn't open until October next year, and it's for limited time. In Edmonton, it's actually only from November 22nd to December 7th, so it's a limited time run type of thing. I like the idea. Excuse me.
I wanted to do like the musical one, the Star Wars Symphony that they had going around. Star That'd Wars be kind of cool. I mean, I'm having a hard enough time just to get from one end of the country to the other for celebrations. I can't really afford to leave my country and go to Canada right now.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be there, unfortunately. Unfortunately. But I like the idea, and this it kind of brings up another issue where it's interesting to me how much Lucasfilm has been doing some of these live event type deals, whether it's Star Wars in Concert, the Clone Wars screenings, now Celebration every other year, evidently.
Let me say this, not just live things, as you so eloquently called them.
Things.
Yes, I'm teasing
events.
You here. They're doing more. The expanded universe has expanded. And please don't call it the extended universe, by the way. Just don't.
Nah. Stop it.
Yes, IGN.
It just keeps extending forever.
Yes, IGN, I'm looking at you. The expanded universe has gotten bigger. We have the Clone Wars television show right now. We have the live action series that's kind of in the making, but not really, but kind of, and they hope to make it. And we have Tor. We have video games coming out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have more authors joining. We have a new editor, I don't remember her exact position at Lucasfilm.
Yeah,
we have
Jennifer
all these live
Hedden,
events.
Yeah.
We have this interesting Star Wars Identities, whatever it might fully turn out to be. We have live screenings. We have the bigger presences at cons, etc. Where is this going? What are they hoping to do? Is this just expansion?
Taking over the universe in a world.
Ruling as father and corporation, I guess.
Oh my goodness. Look. Poll in the chat. Does it seem like Lucasfilm's doing a lot more events in general this in recent years? I'm just trying to remember because they had there's not the amount of Star Wars media that's been out there is kind of plateaued. I think I don't really think that I see a larger amount of releases going. But if you kind of tie that into what you're talking about, Bethany, with events and how mm-hmm. much that's growing. It's amazing to me how active it is, but it's Star Wars has changed. There's no denying Star Wars has changed in the past couple of years, and the Star Wars community has changed. I really think that it's become more niche.
Niche.
I think it's become more. Star Wars in general is not as mainstream in the minds of people. It's in the minds of the fans of the books and the fans of the Clone Wars. But it just hasn't been as mainstream since the last film came out. And by last film, I'm referring to Revenge of the Sith, not the box office disaster that was the Clone Wars film. Well, no matter what you think about it content-wise, it didn't perform as well as Lucasfilm had hoped. And I've heard in different places from different anonymous sources, we'll say, that is the case, that it has underperformed. But where they it's I guess you can make the comparison to the Clone Wars, where they have the screenings now, whereas they tried to do a big mainstream release of the movie to launch the TV series and realized that there wasn't the mainstream interest that there would be with a live action, another live action Star Wars film. Like, I'm sure if they announced 7, 8, 9, everybody back in theaters, $500 million, you know, in the first week, you just have something ridiculous like that. But
I don't know. I thought people were pretty excited though.
Yeah, no, and people were excited about the Clone Wars film. Is that what you're referring to, Mark? Or I'm trying to
the film, but yeah. The film leading into the TV show. Yeah. I mean, I walked away with the film going, "Whoa, a Padawan! Dude, I gotta watch this show and figure out what's going on because I think Lucas has done flipped the script on us."
It's true, but with a capital B, I don't think it was as mainstream, and it obviously wasn't because you can just look at the box office numbers as a big mainstream Star Wars film. And I think by doing these the smaller screenings that they've done in recent years proves that there is a big fan base there that will actively go to these limited type events whether it be Star Wars in Concert or Star Wars Identities or special screenings. But I don't think that they could support a mainstream theatrical Star Wars release that's something like the Clone Wars. And that's why they do these limited screenings where they might have one theater in the whole state that's going to play it. Bethany and I traveled from up north of Chattanooga all the way down to Atlanta for the Clone Wars screening. Of course, we had some family down there and incorporated some other things as well that weekend, but it was crowded, but of course it was just one theater in the whole area. So
yeah,
for us it was choosing between Memphis, which is like 7 or 8 hours away, and Atlanta, which is about 3 hours away. So I don't know. Am I going crazy? Do you think that hypothesis has any merit in terms of the Star Wars franchise just not being quite as mainstream as it was?
I think on some level it has to. I mean, Nathan in the chat is talking about how we're an inelastic audience. It's why stuff that can be produced is still gobbled up. I mean, I will gobble almost anything up. I'm just that kind of fan. I want to know more about the lore. I mean, whether it's coming straight from George or from an artist or a writer that has been, given props, here, go write the story. We want to see it. I want to read it, and I will go out there and buy it, even if it is junk. I will have it on my bookshelf because it's Star Wars, and I want to know what happened. Mm. What happened in that book? I must know. I got to know now what happened. And so there's always going to be a group of people that are always going to, continue pushing on, even if it's a bad direction. There'll always be somebody wanting it, I think.
Yes, well, but as a marketing strategy, I'm wondering where they're taking this. It's almost as if they're putting feelers out and saying, do you guys like live screenings? Do you guys like cons more?
It's like
you guys like comics or books or the Clone Wars or the live action series? It's kind of like they're spreading out in all these different directions.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would say with that, what you're probably getting is, there is a lot of people, like you were saying at the beginning of the episode, Bethany, that they only like the films. And I think that Lucas books and all that, they want to get those people to kind of come over and check out the world of the expanded universe, mm-hmm. because there is a lot going on. Mm-hmm. And, all it takes is a good book like Darth Plagueis. I'll throw that out there real fast. Certain types of books can play to both audiences. And I think that they're really looking at how can we do that? How can we kind of reunite fandom in a sense? I mean, we are, so divided on what we like and dislike that it is hard to put out one product that everybody's going to enjoy. And so I think that they're really trying to find a niche that is close to that, or at least kind of, shrink that down to there's more people liking and less people disliking. I think that's the overall goal, because if you have more people liking, you're going to get more money for it all the way around.
Yeah, exactly. You want people to be reacting well to your product. And I think the Phantom Menace 3D coming out this February is a perfect test of that. If my hypothesis is correct about Star Wars not being nearly as mainstream, it will flop, or at least it won't do very well. And if it does do really well, I think I'm proven wrong. And I'm not coming out with a big, strong statement one way or the other. It's just a theory of mine. And I think the box office and the attendance level of The Phantom Menace 3D will really be telling whether or not. Because Lucasfilm and Lucas, I believe, have pretty much said as much as if The Phantom Menace 3D is a complete flop and not successful, then they have no reason to continue on through the rest of the prequels and then the original trilogy. Which is a whole nother point of contention in the fan community itself. A lot of people would much rather see the original Star Wars in 3D, which I can kind of definitely agree with in some ways. Man, we've been having a lot of fun. My time flies when you are having fun. Let's go ahead and jump straight into the Clone Wars. What do you say, Mark? I've been itching since just before Thanksgiving to talk about this.
If we're going to do that, I mean, are we going to skip the IGN? Because, I mean, we got to talk about that next week then if we're skipping that.
Yeah,
because
we'll move off about that. We're going to talk about the Book of Sith coming out. Super excited about that. Go a little bit more in depth about that book coming out. Of course, the counter to the Jedi Path.
Also to tease our announcements.
And we've got a big announcement that we've got to make before the end of the show. Big one. Big announcement that we've been hyping up a little bit. But let's go ahead and jump straight into the Clone Wars
Hold on. One last thing.
Real quick.
It's an EU to you. That's right. Crimson Empire 3 Lost, Empire Lost, part 2 of 6. No Menor returns. I'm throwing it out. Go check it out.
Didn't he die? Shows what
yes, but see, this is in the comics where it's before he makes his appearance in the books.
Okay,
so,
gotcha.
Yeah, it's getting closer to his appearance in the books. But yeah, it was. I was pretty excited to see him make a reappearance because he was first introduced in Crimson Empire 2 as the main antagonist. So it's nice to see him back in action. I haven't had a chance to read through it. I flipped through it and I saw his picture. Double-taked. Oh, look, Nominar. Boom. Yay. So I was pretty excited. So throwing that out there for anybody, New Jedi Order fans, he's back.
All right. And the Star Wars Report tonight is brought to you by ToyHut.com. ToyHut with two T's is your source for all the awesomeness that you could possibly want in terms of Star Wars action figures, Star Wars collectibles. Head over there to ToyHut.com and do some shopping. Do some shopping. We would normally be doing a pick of the week, but I'll tell you what. Wait until they have a Krell action figure and buy a dozen of them. And when you do that, be sure to put in the little field there in comments that you heard about them from the Star Wars Report. And hey, go over to the site's post for this episode, and you can actually click on their banner that we've got in the episode post, and that way they'll know where you came from. That's a great way to support this show. Thank you to Toy Hut for supporting us for all the time that they have. It's been awesome. They've been sponsoring our Dragon Con coverage, our Fan Days coverage, and now they're sponsoring us through the holiday season. So when you do your Christmas Star Wars shopping, do it at ToyHut.com. Once again, that's Toy Hut with two T's. Let's jump into it. We don't have too much time before the Page Turners Club, so let's talk about some Clone Wars. Krill, yeah.
Yeah, good pun.
Hey, it's punny. Let's talk
it's
about
punny?
Him.
It's punny. It's I like that word.
Yeah, he's on a roll.
In a remarkable turn of events, one that I did not think we would see from the Clone Wars. Spoiler alert, by the way, as you've come to expect on this show, General Krell, not just a jerk, but like the jerkity jerk jerk of all jerks, jerkity McJerk face. And by that, I mean, he's an evil dark Jedi who kills all the clones. What do you think, Mark? I know you're super thrilled when you saw this episode.
Oh, man. This whole arc was, and I was on We Talk Clones reviewing the last episode of the arc, but hands down, the best Clone Wars story ever so far. Landing at Point Where is what I was saying on We Talk Clones. I mean, I loved Landing at Point Rain, but this blew it out of the water in terms of plot, character development, global events. I mean, we're talking not just the clones, but what it is that makes up, you know, whether or not they obey every order. We had things like Order 66 showing up in a sense. I mean, it was great. I could just forever about this. But Riley, that's not the point. The point is, how awesome was Krell's deception? And
oh,
I think for me, I kind of saw it coming. It when it happened, I still had a jaw drop moment, even though I did see to a degree. I was like two or three possibilities, and that was a very distinct one. But when it came down and his wicked kind of laugh, I can't even do it. I was just blown away. The whole story had me blown away.
He needed a Kowakian monkey lizard as a partner just to make it that much better. Yeah, Krell, man. I've talked about it with Bethany in private and with you in private, but the storytelling is so awesome. And out of nowhere, I was thinking the Darth Maul arc, that sounded interesting, so the Slaves of the Republic. This kind of came out of nowhere, and I was just like, oh my goodness. They went there. Insane. Oh my goodness. We're coming towards the close of the show, but we got a couple more minutes while the music rolls. Bethany, your thoughts on the episode? I know you really enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed it.
And I know two episodes have aired, by the way. I know we'll talk about Slaves of the Republic next week. But I just wanted to give some brief thoughts before we close out the show.
I was actually a little surprised that they went there. They went almost full-on Sith with Krell.
Yeah.
Really dark Jedi.
Well, I mean, when he had his vision, he pretty much said, a new order's coming, and I'm going to be a part of it. I mean, he pretty much said, I'm ready to Sith up.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I'll tell you what. We've been waiting all show for it. We got a big announcement. He's in the chat, ladies and gentlemen. Nathan P. Butler. You know, I wonder. I was going to try to pull him in on Skype, but I don't want to tempt fate. But Nathan, I know you're there listening. We have a new podcast and new podcaster joining the Star Wars Report Network. It is indeed Star Wars Beyond the Films. Oh my goodness. I know. Oh, I see, Mark, you're actually pulling Nathan in on the call. I don't know if he'll answer or not, but But yeah, I'm so excited about this, Mark. I know we're working on an expanded universe show that's going to focus on the comics, the books, the games, and I couldn't be more excited than to have you and Nathan joining together in Star Wars Beyond the Films. It doesn't get much more awesome than that. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. And I think that there was so much epicness right then that we actually lost them.
they exploded into an epicness.
Exploded. Oh man. Oh, come on.
Oh well.
Oh well. I think we're actually, Bethany, this is a super deep dark secret. I think we lost internet for a minute. But we're still recording.
Okay.
If you listen, just throw out our contact information. Send us an email, starwarsreport@gmail.com. Comment on what we're talking about. We'll read it on air. Also, be sure to send us some Twitter messages, Facebook messages. Just search for the Star Wars Report. And let's see, what else am I forgetting? Yo, head over to iTunes. Send us some reviews at the iTunes Music Store. Let us know that you're listening. Tell the people how awesome the show is and how much you love the Old Republic, we'll say. We'll put it that way. See if it works at all. And I think we're still off the internet.
No, we are not.
We're on. They can hear us. Okay, it's just Skype. It's just Skype then. Okay, well, we'll go ahead and wrap up. Be sure to stay tuned to our Facebook page. Look up more information as we continue the announcements. Star Wars Beyond the Films will be airing this January on StarWarsReport.com. You can also find them on Facebook and Twitter. Twitter is SW Beyond Films. That's how you can know that you're it's actually working there. Okay, so cold out of the music. But thank you guys so much for tuning into the Star Wars Report. That's going to do it as Skype rings. Remember,
this is the end and the beginning.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, Minnie, that was distracting.
I know. This is just like really awkward. All right, we're out of here. Minnie Bothans died to bring you this podcast.